You don't have to look very far to find examples of religious intolerance in the United States.
Four terrorist suspects are accused of planning to attack a synagogue and a Jewish center.
Stop Islamic immigration.
It's not even Islamophobia. It's beyond Islamophobia. It's hate of Muslims.
We are burning the book.
Police say just before 1 p.m., a man walked into the Holocaust Museum in Washington and immediately began firing with a long rifle.
But a new book says there is actually a positive side to that story, that it's about religious tolerance in the United States. Robert Putnam joins us now. He's the co-author, along with David Campbell, of American Grace, How Religion Divides and Unites Us. And he joins us from the studios of our partner WGBH in Boston. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Ms. Celeste?
It's nice to talk to you, Bob. It seems to me that your book begins with this idea that if the United States is as polarized as it seems to be, and evidence suggests that the country is, in fact, pretty polarized along religious lines, you started to ask the question, if that's true, then why haven't we fractured into 1,000 pieces? Is that kind of where the book came from?
Yes, that's right. American Grace, that's the title of the book. We believe it's the most comprehensive and in-depth survey of the role of religion in our country in the last half century. America is a very religious country compared to other countries of the world. The average American is more religious, for example, than the average Iranian. And America's various communities of faith contribute in important ways to our democracy, but taken in high doses, religion can be toxic for civic life. And uniquely, America is religiously devout, religiously diverse, and religiously tolerant, surprisingly tolerant, we found. And our book is aiming to try to understand how that could be, how we are able to get some of the benefits that religion brings to democracy without the violent downsides.
Okay, so let's examine how you think that occurs. And by the way, I believe the measure you're using to say that the United States was more religious than the average Iranian is church attendance, service attendance, correct?
That's one of the measures, yes, or the importance of religion in people's daily life.
As they were polled. So let's talk about
it.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. You have a record number amount of polarization in the United States at the same time that you have a record number of people who know someone else of a different faith. And you kind of you use the JFK campaign and the John Kerry campaign as tent poles, and you use them to kind of say what happened in between that transformed the America of JFK's run as a Catholic into the America of John Kerry's run as a Catholic. So maybe you can answer that for me. What happened?
Well, two things happened. One is we became more polarized religiously, in political terms, too. It used to be that there was no connection between how often you went to church or other religious services and your political vote. There were lots of progressives sitting in the pews on Sunday morning and lots of unchurched conservatives. And the first thing that's happened over the last 50 years is that there's become a tighter and tighter bond between how religious we are, whether we go to church or how often we pray or whether we say grace in our daily lives. And our politics. And that has tended to drive us apart in religious and political terms. At the same time, more silently but really powerfully, the interpersonal connections in our daily lives with people across religious boundaries have increased so that we're much, for example, intermarriage across religious lines is much more common now than it was 50 years ago. Chelsea Clinton's marriage to a Jewish guy nowadays is quite normal. Half of all marriages in America today cross traditional religious boundaries. We're more likely to change our own religion. About a third of all Americans are currently worshiping in some religion other than the one they were raised in, which means they're now in a different religion from their own parents or their own kids. Half of our most intimate friendships are with people outside our faith tradition. So all of us, what's happened over the last 50 years is all of us have come to know well and even to love people in some other religious faith. We call this the Aunt Susan principle. All of us have someplace in our families. Aunt Susan, she's a different faith from me. She's Catholic and I'm Jewish, or she's Jewish and I'm evangelical, or she's evangelical and I'm not religious at all. And I know what my faith, what I say on Sunday morning, people like Aunt Susan are not going to make it to heaven. But, I mean, come on, I know Aunt Susan. You know Aunt Susan. Aunt Susan, if anyone's going to heaven, it's Aunt Susan. And so that means that in our ordinary daily lives, in terms of tensions across religious boundaries, we're kind of pitting what our theology says against Aunt Susan. And Aunt Susan almost always wins. And we think that's an important part of the reason why in America we're able to combine high levels of religiosity and high levels of religious diversity, and you had a reasonable amount of religious tolerance.
But one of the escape valves, I guess, for that polarization that you talk about in your book is the fact that the religion has then entered into the world of politics, that the world of politics and especially fundamentalist religion have aligned in a way that they never have before. And you also take the next step and talk about what that means for the next generation, which is turned off by that connection. So what has this connection between religions and politics done to this entire landscape?
Well, of course, some people, the people on the religious right, are delighted that at last they're able to bring their personal faith into the public sphere. But lots of people, especially lots of young people, were really turned off by the development in the 1960s and the 1970s and 1980s of this kind of merger between religion and politics. So beginning in the 1990s and continuing to today, a rapidly increasing number of American young people who might otherwise have been in church, they say they believe in God and they say that religion is important in their lives, but they say they have no religious affiliation at all. Historically, that fraction of the American public who said they just don't have any religion was about 5%. Among young people now, people in their 20s and in early 30s, that figure is not 5%, but 35%, or sorry, 30%. It's a huge increase. Since in religion, as in, you know, our preference in colas or our music taste, habits you form early tend to stick with you, that rapid increase in the number of young Americans who are dissatisfied with religion portends a drop in American religiosity over the years ahead, and that group of young people essentially are saying, "Well, look, if religion is just about conservative politics and homophobia and so on, I'm out of here. That's not for me.
I want nothing to do with it." Robert Putnam, co-author with David Campbell of American Grace, How Religion Divides and Unites Us, joined us from our sister station WGBH in Boston. Thanks so much.
And one more thought about this.
My name's Cullen McGuff. I'm calling from Boston. My take on religious tolerance is that the media gives unfair weight to extremist viewpoints. I mean, frankly, you put up one reasonable person and one complete crank, it sounds like it's a 50-50 issue, when often it's not.
Join the conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.